The customer may make a bank his agent also. When can such agency agreement flourish? If the banker acts as an agent and not as a debtor, then the agency brings out a fiduciary relationship which lasts until the agency is terminated. So it is for a specific purpose. Once the purpose is accomplished, automatically the agency comes to an end. Whereas in case of a deposit, it is a continuing relationship. We'll see more about these agency functions in the special relationships. What is the essence of relationship? The essence of relationship of a banker and a customer is the affording of the facility to the customer to draw funds from the bank by issuing checks. This particular facility of allowing the customer to withdraw his money as and when he requires is the very essence of relationship between a debtor and a creditor. In the absence of such a facility, the term banker can be applied to ordinary money lenders. The basic relationship of allowing repayment clearly classifies the entity as a banker, otherwise it is similar to any ordinary money lender. Should the bank dream that a customer requires money and go out of the way or on its own to find out the customer and give the money to him? No. A banker is obliged to return the money to the customer only and only if a demand is made by the customer. A demand for repayment of money is essential for the banker to make the repayment. The debt due from a banker to its customer differs from an ordinary commercial debt in one important aspect. An express demand for repayment by the customer is necessary before the debt becomes actually due in case of a debtor and creditor relationship, unlike an ordinary commercial debt. Otherwise, the banker, by offering the money due to its customer, would summarily close his customer's account without notice and possibly injure his customer's credit by dishonoring check. So this agreement is carefully crafted with precise terms and conditions, and hence whenever we say a debtor-creditor relationship, we have to understand that a demand is absolutely necessary for repayment of the money kept by the customer in his account with the bank. Once again, we have a famous case of Johansson versus Swiss Banking Corporation. What happened in this case? It was held that a debt owing by a banker to his customer on current or deposit account does not become due and payable until the customer makes a specific demand for repayment. And we can get n number of cases which specifically mentions this particular requirement of demand to be made by the customer in case of repayment. In Kerr and Company versus the Dresdner Bank, it was held that locality was an essential part of the debt owing by a banker to his customer, and that this obligation to repay was confined to the place where the account was kept, thus limiting the obligation of a banker to repay in the point of locality to the branch where the account is kept. Suppose you open an account with crores of rupees in a metro branch. The metro branch is equipped to repay the money as and when you require, because it is supposed to maintain the cash in its vault based on the deposits it had collected. Now suppose you go to a rural branch and ask him or ask the branch manager for withdrawal of 1 crore of rupees. The banker is not obliged, simply because the prime obligation of a banker is to honor your repayment specifically in the branch where you have opened the account. But if the banker wants to accommodate you, then based on the notice you have given for withdrawal, even in a rural branch, it will try to put an indent to its nearest branch, collect cash as per your requirement and give it back to you. So we have to understand this concept very clearly, and this has been acknowledged again in various cases decided by the court. Leader and Company versus DDD Gesellschaft. In this case, an actual demand was made at the branch where the account was kept and it was refused. In the previous slide, we were talking on a demand made on another branch where the account was not kept. But in this case, a demand was refused at the branch where the account was kept. It was held that it was no answer to the claim and that the debt was payable in a foreign country, provided that the judgment debtor either resided or carried on business within this jurisdiction. So friends, whenever we apply certain banking principles, we not only have to refer to the text, to the regulations, but we also have to take hold of this various cases decided by courts, so that if at all any dispute arises, we are guided by the decisions already established in various courts of law. Richardson versus Richardson. It was said, it is a practice of banks at the request of a customer to transfer amounts from one account to another, and perhaps it is an implied term of the contract that a bank shall, at the request of the customer, make such transfer at the expense of the customer, and if a conversion from one currency to another is necessary at the rate of exchange ruling at the time of transfer. So at the time of transfer, whatever the rate of exchange would be applicable, would be applied for such transfer to be effected. Let's see something more about the demand. A customer should make demand for repayment only during the prescribed business hours on a working day. That's the reason we see a big timing board put just outside the branch or within the branch, specifically mentioning the business hours on all the working days. Some of the banks do work on Sundays also. And hence, Such branch have to clearly display the timings it is working on specific days of the week. If it is a general holiday like a Sunday, and if the bank is working, then that particular day would also be called as a working day. And if any normal day of the week is declared as a holiday by the branch, then that particular day becomes a holiday for that particular branch. But this has to be clearly displayed at the branch as well as on the website of the bank, so that the customer is clear about what are the timings he can go to the bank and avail the various products and services that are given by the bank. Hence, it is very essential that a customer should make even a demand for repayment only during the prescribed business hours on a working day. A banker cannot do a transaction after the business hours or even before business hours just to accommodate a customer. All the transactions has to be done in the window of the business hours only. The demand by the customer must be made at the proper time and place only. Proper time simply means business hours, and proper place simply means in the premises of the branch, unless you are using the services on an automated channel like the ATM, internet or the mobile, wherein you can have your 24/7 anytime, anywhere banking. But if you have to do a branch banking, then you have to come to the branch, put your request for either repayment or availment of any services. If the banker makes payment before or after the banking hours, he could be held liable since it is a serious violation of the terms and conditions entered into while opening an account. This is because Section 65 of the Negotiable Instruments Act specifically states you have a legal provision which says presentment for payment must be made during the usual hours of business, and if at a banker's, within the banking hours only. So the time of payment and the place of payment is not coming from anywhere else, but directly from a legal provision specifically made in the Negotiable Instruments Act. If the payment is made after banking hours, the amount of the check cannot be debited to the drawer's account. Please note, any payment made after the business hours cannot be debited to the drawer's account till the opening of the bank the next day. Hence, all the transactions, if allowed after the business hours, has to be posted into the drawer's account only on the next day business hours. So if anything happens in between this closing of business hours today and opening of business hours tomorrow, the banker has to take the risk and will be liable for any such misfortunes happening in between this window. Payment of a check before or after banking hours is not a payment in due course. In the meantime, if the drawer countermands the payment of the check, in spite of getting the cash, the banker cannot debit his customer's account. This is a serious risk, and the banker's liability will come into immediate picture if at all the customer countermands the payment after the business hours and before opening of the business hours the next day. The position will be similar if a garnishee order is served on the banker, restraining him from making payment to the robber's account. We are going to see more about this garnishee order. Garnishee order is issued by a court. It is issued in two stages. In the first stage, a notice is sent to the banker asking him why the funds which it is having on behalf of a customer cannot be paid to a complainant who has filed a petition against the creditor of the bank in the court. After expiry of the notice period, the banker has to remit the money to the court if it has no explanations as to why it should not send the money to the court. The debt of the customer or his insolvency will also make the payment of the customer invalid. So banker has to be very careful in taking immediate action whenever it receives a notice in the form of a garnishee order or a notice of insolvency or a notice of death of the customer, because a very happening makes the payment activity invalid. More about demand. A commercial branch having several branches is considered one entity. However, the depositor may enter into a relationship with only one branch where an account is opened and continue to avail services at various other branches, especially in the modern electronic days of core banking. Initially, the customer's account could be accessed only in a particular branch. Now, because of core banking, having a central database in the head office, a customer can go to any part of the country or any part of the world and make a request to the banker for accessing his account, because he can simply connect to the centralized database, which is a core banking. The demand for repayment must be made at the same branch, otherwise the banker is not bound to honor the commitment. This is specifically a big requirement of the non-computerized branch atmosphere, which specifically requires a demand for payment has to be made in the parent branch. A customer can make special arrangement with the banker for repayment of the deposited money at some other branch also, for which he has to intimate to that particular branch of his requirement, give some time to that branch to arrange the money for the customer from its nearby branch, and that's how a customer's request can also be accommodated at a branch other than his parent branch. Can you make a demand orally or some other means which does not form a part of the contractual agreement? Of course not. Deposits are withdrawable only by a stationery issued by the bank only, and that stationery can be in the form of a check, a draft, an order, or otherwise, that is any other manner in which the banker allows. This means that the demand for the refund of money deposited must be made through a check or an order as per the common usage amongst the bankers. The demand should be made verbally or through a telephonic message or in any other such manner, but it has to be supported by the normal stationery issued by the banker. After having seen various details on the debtor creditor, that is bank acting as a debtor and the customer acting as a creditor, specifically where the customer deposits money with the banker. Now we will see more details of a creditor-debtor relationship, which is exactly opposite of a debtor-creditor relationship. Why do we say exactly opposite? For a simple reason, whenever a creditor-debtor relationship is established, instead of taking deposits from the customer, the bank lends its money to the customer, who will be called as a borrower. And since the bank lends its excess money to the customer, the banker will be called a creditor and the customer will be called a debtor. Bank does not give the money for free, nor it is a gift. It is based on certain terms and conditions mentioned in the loan agreement, and by that loan agreement, the customer or the borrower has to repay the money which is taken from the banker as a loan in various installments as agreed between him and the banker for a specific period. The resources mobilized by the banks, resources means the deposits accepted, are utilized for the lending operation, because that is the main business of a banker, which accepts money for the purpose of lending. Customer who borrows money from bank owns money to the bank. It's not a gift given by the bank to the customer, and hence he owes money to the bank. Hence the banker is a creditor and the customer is the debtor. Borrower executes document which acknowledges the various terms and conditions agreed between him and the banker. At the same time, the borrower may agree to offer certain security based on, again, the agreement between the banker and the customer. This is specifically mentioned in the documents before utilizing the credit facility. Hence, before any disbursement happens, it is essential to document all the terms and conditions agreed between a banker and the customer. And this also includes creation of charge on whatever security, whether it may be a movable property or an immovable property, offered by the borrower to cover the risk of the amount lent by the banker to the borrower in case of any default on the part of the borrower. We have seen a banker can also act as a trustee, specifically in case of safe custody deposits. What is a safe custody deposit? Suppose you have some valuables at home and you don't want to keep it in your home for risk of whatever, theft, robbery, etc. So what will you do? Either you will bring that movable as it is, or put it in a box, close it, seal it, and bring it to the banker saying that please keep it in your custody and return me back as and when I make a demand. And what does the banker do? Banker takes it, keeps it in its vault, the strong vault, in a secure manner, and acknowledges whatever deposit of such security made by the customer by issuing him a safe deposit receipt or a safe custody receipt. In this particular scenario, the banker acts as a trustee of the customer, and hence whatever expectations or the obligation that comes out comes in the form of a trustee. Trustee keeps the property of a beneficiary and is obliged to take all care as if it is his own property, but the benefits will always accrue to the owner. A trustee holds money or assets and performs certain functions for the benefit of some other person called the beneficiary. A beneficiary request has to come, without which a trusteeship cannot occur. If a customer deposits securities and valuables to the banker for safe custody, the banker acts as a trustee of his customers. With regard to these securities and valuables, deposits kept with the banker for safe custody, the property in them remains with the customer, who can always claim them back as and when he requires. In case of Barnett's Banking Company, when a customer pays into his bank a check drawn upon another bank, which means a check on collection, such a check being received by the bank will be termed as check received for collection of money from the other bank on whom it is issued. A customer is entitled to claim the check or its proceeds if the collecting bank fails before the bank has collected it and has credited the proceeds to the customer's account. Please note, the customer is entitled to claim the check or its proceeds if the collecting bank fails before the bank has collected it and has credited the proceeds to the customer's account. If the deposit has been made for a specific purpose and the banker stops payment before applying it to such purpose, the depositor cannot claim the money back and has to take recourse as a general creditor. What's the learning in this case? The relationship between the banker and the customer as a trustee and beneficiary depends upon the specific instructions given by the customer to the banker regarding the use of money and security. The banker cannot act on its own. It has to act on the basis of what instructions have been given by the beneficiary to the bank for conducting the trusteeship relationship. In case of New Bank of India versus Pyare Lal, the Supreme Court has observed that in the absence of other evidence, a person paying into a bank, whether he is a constituent of the bank or not, may be presumed to have paid the money to be held by the banker as ordinarily held the money of their constituents. If no specific instructions are given at the time of payment or thereafter, and even if the money is held in a suspense account, then what happens? The bank does not thereby become a trustee of the amount paid. A very important decision given in this New Bank of India case. What does this mean? This means that when a person dealing with a bank delivers money to a bank, the intention to create a relationship of creditor and debtor between him and the bank is presumed unless this presumption is rebutted.